Let us pray. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Psalms chapter 118, and the first part is verses 1 to 2, and the second part is 19 to 29, and it's on pages 565 and 66 in the Pew Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, so when I was on staff at Cordata Presbyterian Church, it was Easter Sunday that this happened. Greg forgot half of his notes on the printer, so like he had half his sermon and he got like halfway through it, and he's like, "I'll be right back." So, this is different. I don't know if it's better, Carla. All right, Luke. Chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Let's hear the gospel for our morning. After he had said all that he had at Bethany, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks over the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching down the path of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully, with a loud voice, for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Let us pray. God, as we prepare for this holy week, we ask that you would draw near to us, that we would have a sense of your presence as we walk this road with you, as we walk into the city, as we look around and see all of the needs and the hunger and the struggle, as we see the temple, as we see the hope of your good word. Lord, guide us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Amen. I want to start today by talking about parades. I want you to think for a moment about a time you went to a parade in your life. Maybe it was the 4th of July in your hometown. Maybe it was last year you went to Ski to See, or you went to the Pride Parade or the St. Patrick's Day celebration. Bellingham's pretty good when it comes to these public events. Whatever you think, what was that experience like? Were there crowds there? Was there music? Were there cars, floats? I bet there was a high school jazz pep band. There might have been cheerleaders, local politicians. Parades are fun, right? I see some shaking heads. Parades are loud. I want to tell a couple of stories about parades I've been to. First, I want to remember the 4th of July parades in my hometown of Edmonds. 4th of July was so fun. We would pack up bags and walk down Maple Street all the way to 5th Avenue, and we'd claim a spot on the sidewalk, me and my sister and my parents, and we'd watch as the police and the fire, the clown car would go by, the mayor would drive by. I remember our mayor, Laura Hall, riding down the street in a convertible. Mom and Dad, what color was it? Do you remember? I think it was like aquamarine or something like that, or pink or something. My sister and I loved collecting candy. We didn't love the loud noises, but it was fun. Some of my highlights of that parade included riding our bikes one year with the kids' troop. And of course, since my dad was a firefighter, I got the esteemed honor of riding in a fire engine a couple of times. That was so fun. I'll always remember that. Okay, then another parade. Our homecoming parade every year for high school was amazing. Did anyone else's high school do a parade? Okay, see some hands, great. So for me, homecoming each year was one of the best ways to make friends and get connected. My freshman year, I didn't know many, if anybody, in my 2,000-person high school, and so I volunteered to make homecoming decorations. It worked. I made friends. And so I kept volunteering. I think I might have even gotten a spirit award that year for helping out. So I kept doing it. And our little parade would weave through Edmonds with elaborate trailer floats pulled behind big trucks. Each class had a theme and decorated their float accordingly. I can still remember driving up to a warehouse in Mukilteo to work on our senior class float. I can remember the drive. I can remember which Less Than Jake album I was listening to on the car stereo. I can remember that my girlfriend at the time was a junior and she was working on her class float. And we were kind of like secretive. We wouldn't tell each other what the two different floats were going to be like because it was like a competition. It was fun. And that year, I actually got to ride on the float as well with my senior class. I even got a little clown, a crown and a scepter because I was the homecoming king that year. Fun. Parades are fun. Birch Bay Parade, that's an excellent 4th of July one if you're looking for one. The Bellingham Pride Parade. A final parade of sorts that I want to tell about. It's not a parade in a formal sense, but this is the kind of thing that sticks with me as a way people show up for one another and walk with and stand with each other. This parade occurred in June of 2013, my final month working in campus ministry at the Inn with students at Western Washington University. I'm getting emotional thinking about this memory because it's a dear, dear story. As a way to celebrate our retirement, the staff and interns and First Presbyterian congregations had a party for us. But to get to go to the party, we three retiring staff members were told to get dropped off on the south end of campus by the rec center. Me, Willow Weston, and Lindsay Anderson. And we were asked to get dropped off there and then walk all the way through campus to get to the church on the other side. What we didn't know is that as we walked through campus, we would be met by friends and family and supporters, people who had dearly walked with us through those years of ministry. I have a photo of us all on Old Main Lawn. Pam, you're in that photo. Mark and Joanna, you're in that photo. Mom and Dad, you met us down at the church to celebrate with us. It was an important day. There were tears. There was laughs at this parade. And it was a march. It was people walking together to support one another. And I'll never forget it. You see, it doesn't have to be called a parade to be a parade. And it matters. What matters is that people are showing up, showing solidarity, supporting common cause with one another, standing with each other. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem looks a lot like a parade. Branches waving, people shouting Hosanna, the frenzy and hype and the feel, it's all there. But it's so much more than a parade. This entrance is a protest. Consider the backdrop. It's the Passover holiday, much like it is this year, as the Jewish, Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant calendars have all lined up. Jerusalem was lit up with activity. Pilgrims coming for the Passover celebration. Jesus' entrance came at a specific time, at a pointed moment. There was so much more to this than a neutral parade celebration. This was a march. The backdrop also included growing tensions with the Roman occupation in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, like it is even still today, was a powder keg of politics and religion and the poor and the rich and the powerful and the weak. I'm sure you've heard many of Jesus' followers were likely expecting that powder keg to explode. There were people in the crowds who wanted a riot, an overthrow, a coup. Think less 4th of July and more 6th of January. Jesus was supposed to be a revolutionary, someone who would upset the status quo and usher in a new era for the Hebrew people. All of this, this is charging this moment with symbolism and significance. Take, for example, the opening exchange where Jesus and his disciples talk about the young colt. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a young colt that has never been ridden. This is subversive. When proud leaders would ride into town, they would be on a white horse or pulled in an adorned chariot or palanquin. Jesus' entrance undermines the show of bravado. As well, palms would have been waved to show honor or celebrate victory with a dignitary or a general coming to town. Jesus' followers waved them for him, a poor preacher who has no permanent residence, owns nothing, and advocates for the poor. This is the turning over of power tables, lifting up the least of these with shouts of acclamation. And of course, those shouts, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These words, of course, are words offered in religious devotion, high esteem. They are words of praise, as our text tells us. And they are also highly charged with political and social rhetoric. Hosanna, the highest level of praise. This is a word reserved for the divine, the powerful, the Lord. To praise Jesus publicly in this way is to also denounce the emperor, who would have been also lauded in such a way. The emperor or a mighty general would come bearing the standard of the empire, a tall stick with banners or a medal emblazoned with the face of the empire. They would arrive with power and receive these shouts of acclamation. And then Jesus gets this. And he's not Caesar. He's not a general. And this would certainly have angered some of his onlookers. How dare he? As we started to understand the context of this moment, we also have to ask, is this a parade? Is it a triumphal entry? Or is it something else? Is it a protest? Is it a march? Is it a rally? The people are hoping that it's simply more than simply a show and presentation. We need this man to do more than just show up for pomp and presentation. We need this to have more meaning that will change our lives. Because the poor are crying out, the oppressed must be liberated. War and violence are perhaps a viable answer for some of us, so of course people would want to riot. When you're suffering and you see a leader, you get hope. Your longing for something new increases. I'm going to close with a couple of important notes. First is this: at its core, Christianity, the following of Jesus Christ, is a protest against all other powers. Christ before all things, we say. So yes, this is more than a parade. It's a public statement. Jesus is the rightful King and Lord. I use those titles here knowing that they are certainly problematic at times. But we have to see the stark contrast. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, not the army, not even the priests. Jesus is Messiah, Son of God, coming King. As well, at the heart of Christian action in the world is the gathering in solidarity with one another. We stand together in the face of oppression. We show up for one another when someone is hurting. About 5 years ago, I took part in a rally down at Maritime Heritage Park, downtown Bellingham, where local community leaders gathered to speak up following the death of George Floyd. I stood there, saying nothing, but witnessing others standing up for human rights and in support of our community's Black, Indigenous, and people of color. The atmosphere of the protest rally is strikingly similar to a parade. There's a crackle in the air. People gather together because they care about a common cause. Well, it's how, in our context today, is this good news for the poor? Well, it's good news because it's an example that people can cross socioeconomic and cultural boundaries to stand up and walk with one another. That is the way of Jesus. There are a lot of people feeling the need to stand up and walk with each other these days. I think we often question whether that's our role as Christians, to show up to such things. What we need to hear today is that, yes, it is a mark of being a follower of Jesus. We show up and we stand up and we speak up with each other. Certainly, there are Christian-loving ways to do this. Think about my 4th of July parade. The mayor didn't run down the road with a bullhorn screaming political things at the citizens of Edmonds. No, she smiled and she waved. She conducted herself in a manner that was welcoming to all people, showing signs of respect and kindness. I found the same to be true at these kinds of marches or rallies or parades. There's space for people like you and me, Christ followers, to show up and be witnesses to love and care like Jesus does. To see people, to bear witness, to offer support. I wonder what we are called to stand up for today. Who are we being called to stand with? As I look ahead to this season of life in our community here, I want to encourage you, us all, to joyfully celebrate taking common cause with one another. We have a calling to serve and love our neighbors. I pray that we will continue to find ways to do this publicly, with courage and humility. I pray that we will be known as allies, friends, supporters to the poor and the hurting among us. I want to leave you with this simple question. Would you show up? Given all that you know about Jesus, all that you know and believe about his mission and his ministry here among us, would you go? The priests and the Roman occupiers were agitated at him, already plotting to put him down. He was followed by crowds wherever he went. Would we join in? Would we show up? If so, why? And if not, why? The question is before us, even now. Will we show up? Will we stand up and be a living example of a Christ follower? Will we show up and walk with the poor and the oppressed, the marginalized? Will we celebrate liberation, liberation that comes from Jesus' way? Would you celebrate liberation for those who need it most? And would you work to make it happen? It's not intended to make any of us feel guilty. But I simply want to ask, if not, why wouldn't you show up? Maybe it's the crowds. Maybe it's the public nature of it all. Maybe you're uncomfortable with standing for too long. All very good reasons. But if you could, would you? Maybe there was a time when you did that when you were younger. You showed up and you marched and you stood in solidarity with the poor. But you say, not today. That's the next generation's thing. That's their turn to take the baton. And I say, okay, fine. Do the younger people in your life know that you did that? Have you told them your story? Have you told them what you stand for? What you believe in? Will we show up? Jesus is making his final entrance into Jerusalem. He's preparing to go all the way to and through death. Will we show up and follow him? God, we ask that you would liberate us from the places where we feel stuck. The places where we feel like we can't stand with one another. Lord, help us to learn how to bear witness with our whole selves, to show up to those in need, to be a people who are willing to raise our voices and wave our palms and praise you in the face of destructive forces around us. Lord, we enter into this holy week with you. Guide us in these steps. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.